Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. This episode is a really interesting chat on how Eoin Cluskey created the concept of Bread 41, which is a very popular bakery here in Dublin. And these are the conversations that inspired the Life Lessons podcast. We talk about his story in the food business, which is obviously very interesting. But what I really found interesting is the culture he creates in Bread 41 alongside his sustainability efforts and how he will keep hold of these ideals as the business expands. Because I have no experience in bricks and mortar business. So I found the conversation really interesting and I hope you do too. And this is actually the last episode of the first season of Life Lessons. And I just want to thank you for listening, whether this is the first time you've listened or if you have listened to them all. And if you are going to miss me, please do subscribe or follow the podcast so you don't miss when I come back post baby. And I'd also like to thank Whoop for their sponsorship of the podcast this season. I love working with brands that I genuinely use and enjoy myself, and I'm happy to recommend to my followers. My Whoop strap and the app, accompanying app, the fitness tracking app, has helped me manage my health, fitness and wellness before, during and after, hopefully after this pregnancy. I recommend a lot of my friends to get a Whoop because women are often found burning the candle at both ends, and the Whoop helps to see whether it is best to rest, recover or to push on any given day. If you would like to get started tracking your health, wellness and fitness at a deeper level today, go to join.whoop.com/Siobhan to get your first month free and a free Whoop 4.0 device on me. That's join.whoop.com/Siobhan, and I'll have a link in the show notes. So I will let you get into this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Right, Eoin, welcome to Life Lessons.
Life Lessons. Thank you very much, everyone, for having me. This is going to be a great lesson for me in podcasting. I've only done two before.
So, oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised you can talk very well.
Yeah, as we were saying.
You've done a lot of TV.
I can waffle. Yeah, I've done a little bit of TV, and it's interesting, even the TV spaces, before you do it, as we were talking before about breeding, it's all about implementing your box breeding and pausing. I'm a bad pauser.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm terrible. I'm like, and I know Kyle, who edits the podcast, has to cut out a lot of me saying and breathing weird in between breaths, because right now I'm really conscious of how I'm breathing and how I'm talking.
But yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I think we just tend to get in and we tend to try push everything out at once. And I think everyone has a real interesting voice and people like hearing your voice. And if they're listening to a podcast, they want to listen to your voice, where you're like, I've got to go real quick. And then you run out of space and you go, oh my God, what did I say? So it's about pausing.
Okay.
Let's all pause.
Well, because I just found out about Eoin before the podcast is that he's really into the breathing too. And last week's podcast is actually all about breath work, but more not about for performance or focus. It was more about holotropic breath work.
Yeah.
Have you done any of that?
So I basically got into breath work due to the fact that so much going on, I think, in the day-to-day of running any business, and I'm not into breath work for anything else, bar we all have to breathe, and everyone should breathe. I think for a long time we haven't been breathing right. So I do it to calm, mm-hmm. bring calm into the everyday life, busy life. So really big into it. Box breathing, Navy SEAL breathing. So it's very simple, and anyone can do it. So it's like in for two, hold for two, out for two, hold for two. So it's very, very simple. So I do that all the time. I box breathe any time before I do anything else. Even we sat here before you even knew it, when you were setting up the camera, I was box breathing.
So
I'm as nervous as you are.
You just can't tell because you've been breathing so well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we could talk about breathing for a whole podcast, but I want to talk to you about business. And because it's something, obviously, a bricks and mortar business is, obviously, I don't have any idea about that. And I've seen, I just love Bread 41. I think anyone that follows me can see that I got an apartment relatively close for that reason. But tell me about your background. Like, for people that don't know, if you can summarize how you got from to this bricks and mortar business.
Yeah. So Bread 41 basically would have started actually about more, I'd say, I'm turned 41 actually this year, which is like, wow, I'm 41. Would have started like 20 plus years ago, I think, definitely. So I went to school like everyone. I was never good in school. Spent most of my childhood education outside the classroom door. Mm-hmm. It was like, he doesn't know this or doesn't know that. I just didn't really understand the confines of being in a room and not wanting to look out the window and doing homework. I was really bad at it. But trust me, I came from a really good background. I have four sisters, one brother, a great mum and dad who did absolutely everything for me. My dad had his own business, was part of a business, and instilled basically really good manners on me, which I think is very important. When I was growing up as a kid, I tend to drift to the dark side, as they said at times. Didn't we all? And I basically was in school, hated it, and said, I'm getting out as quick as I can. What can I do? And I became a carpenter. So my brother was a carpenter. It was an easy route for me to follow. And I love travel, like a lot of people. And I got the bug. So I went traveling straight after becoming a qualified carpenter and just spent as much time out of Ireland as I could. And that was the, that's what actually led to basically cooking and baking and wanting to be my own boss. So all of a sudden.
How did you pivot?
Yeah, you pivot for survival. I think, honestly, I think when you're away, and it's really interesting because when I went away, Skype was only a thing. So it was only coming around, like internet cafes were still a thing where you go and you pay the money. And I'm like, God, it sounds so old, but it wasn't that long ago, you know, with technology has changed so much then. So I went away and fended for myself, long and short of it. I was working, being a carpenter. I was in Canada, Australia, Southeast Asia, everywhere, and meeting people. So networking. Unbeknownst to me, I was networking. So someone would say, oh my God, if you're ever in New York, call by. I was that person who called by. I was like, how's it going? Yeah. You said I could stay here for a month. And that was roughly about 7 or 8 years, actually, out of Ireland. On and off, I'd come home for 6 months and I go back and I travel with multiple friends. And then close to the end, I travel by myself, which is massive, massive deep learning and lessons for me. Yeah,
big fan of solo travel.
Yeah. And it was weird because I always travel with one of my best friends who I grew up with, Tommy. So it was like when I went away, it was like, where's Tommy? Or where is he? Like, it was always that. And then we sort of drifted as we grew older, we drifted. And I fell in love with food. Long and short of it, I was out, you know, working on roofing and I could earn lots of money and I could like work a month and not work for 3 months and, you know, have a really good life. And slowed down, started cooking away in Australia. And then coming home, I cooked in Australia and baked anywhere I could. And then I came home and I decided to take, you know, I wanted to be home. It was the right time to be home. And my family got very big. My sisters were having kids. And I remember a nephew that I hadn't sort of seen before. And I was like, this is really nice. So that was 2010 in the bad snow, the crazy snow.
I remember it.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh my God, Ireland's, it's snowing in Ireland. The street went deep. And just got focused. Went down to Cork, hopped over a gate on a farm. And some crazy woman was shouting at me going, what are you doing on my land? And I was like, how's it going? Oh, I want to learn to cook. And that was Doreen Allen.
No way. Yeah.
So Doreena would have been a massive part of where I am today, honestly. Likewise, Ballymaloe was very, very timely for me to go and live on a farm and work on a farm.
Had you done any courses when you were cooking in Australia or had you just kind of picked it up?
No, just picked it up, just got in. And I find that was with anything I ever do. And people always ask me now, like, how do I become a chef? And I would always say hands-on experience was good for me. Mm. I'm not saying don't go to college, don't do that. But pick what you want to do and want to learn. I find online and hands training, being in sight, is so important and probably got there quicker. I knew early on I always wanted to work for myself, and that was because I probably had an issue with authority.
Yeah.
Growing up as a kid.
But obviously what was his business?
Well, my dad was in the motor trade. So my dad was like, he'd bring car parts into Ireland and they had a business up the north in and out of the Troubles and stuff. And then they had a business in London. So my dad, actually funny, I was actually just big into gratitude and, you know, I was writing down things. I want to read a letter to my dad of gratitude, say thank you, and equally my mum. But my dad, with six kids, my mum was a stay at home mum, which I used to go, oh, mum's so lucky she stays at home. Then I'm like, oh my God, I would never stay at home to rear six kids. But my dad, yeah, always just hard work, always worked really, really hard. And we got everything he could give us. And that would instill so much that I've only learned recently. Where who I am now, that it all sort of came from my dad.
And that kind of entrepreneurial lifestyle, like I don't think I ever saw that growing up. Like my mom and dad not just had jobs, but you know, like I just never really thought of setting up my own business, or I never saw that as an option. Like I think, you know, like I always, when I was growing up, it was like, go to school, get a job, get a profession, work your way up the career ladder. So I wonder like how much, if that would have been different had my parents been a bit more.
Like I think that's how, and it's still instilled to today. I think the education system, to be honest, is designed this way. I think it has a lot to be answered for. I push against it massively. I think it's like, you have to do this, have to do that. Like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And I think that's important. I think that came with being away from home and coming home. And I'll never forget when I wanted to take it more seriously, I said to my dad, I want to do this. And I had some tax back from Australia. And basically, honestly, getting the support of my mum and dad was massive for me. I'm going to do this. I quickly learned that not everyone agreed with what you were doing. As I said, I have four sisters, one brother. I'm extremely close to them all. I love all them equally. Maybe one sister would have believed me more than others. And that was okay. Like, that was genuinely okay. I think some of them thought, what's Owen up to again? If he's not happy with something, he just stops doing it and leaves. Yeah. So they'd seen my failures and probably focused on my failures before, rather than going, well, at least he's trying. But so that would have been the long and the short of it. I did Ballymaloe. I worked in kitchens in Dublin. Got into it later, I suppose. So it was different for me, kitchens were. Kitchens are predominantly not great. And I remember being in the kitchen and someone said, oh, if you make a mistake there, be careful because like the head chef might hit you with a hot pan. And I'm looking at him going, you hit me with a hot pan, pal. I'll hit you back with a hot pan. And I think that was the culturally, I couldn't understand why we needed to treat each other so badly.
Yeah.
Quick, went out to London, got a job in London, due to start in London in St. John's, super, super great restaurant and bakery. And then I came home and I seen an ad for a job, a bakery starting in Delgany in Wicklow. And I met this guy, Patrick, who was setting up this bakery. And then I went headfirst in there, gave it everything. Along that journey, I met my then girlfriend, now wife. Again, a massive part of how I am, who I am and how I got to today. And again, it was support. It was like, I believe in you. We can do this. And it was that always little push that people gave me that got me to where I am today. Worked there for about 4 or 5 years. And then I had we basically had our first child then. So we had Oliver, and Katie was pregnant, I think after maybe 6 months of meeting Katie, she was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
No judgment here.
And it was again that, honestly, that conversation of going, everything's going to be okay. We'll be okay. I was earning a really crappy wage where I was working. I was probably really unhappy. And that led on to probably one of the most important things that ever happened in career date. I was so focused on not being in the place I was working and wanting to get out and wanting to do my own thing. And saying to someone that I'm going to do my own thing, and maybe other bakers maybe laughing, you'll never do anything this, and that would always spur me on. I always, anyone who pushed against me or said I couldn't do it, I always went out to achieve that. Now, looking at it now, that's pretty, not the best way I would say to go, but it's determination.
Yeah.
I met these two ladies and they were eager to open a bakery, and long and short of it, I got into business with them. The day I signed the contract with them was the day I knew I'd made a massive mistake. Yeah, so that led to setting up a small bakery, and within a month knowing it was a massive mistake, and took nearly a year and a half to get out of. And that to me was my business failure.
Okay, yeah.
So it was like I failed. I remember coming back to Katie, and again, we were dating at that time, and she gave me 15,000 euros of her savings that she had to set this bakery up. And I was like, I've lost it all. And a massive low point in my life, that I failure for the first time had really gotten on top of me.
And what had gone wrong with it?
The relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, the relationship. Everyone not rowing in the same direction. People wanting to go different ways. And that has really driven on to what Bread 41 is today. And mindsets were completely different. Stuff I didn't understand then, to be honest with you. We ended up like pretty much court, pretty much solicitors involved. And it was like a year of, I would never, ever want anyone to experience that year, because when I say it now, it's probably actually the first time I actually genuinely even talked about it. It was like, without, obviously Katie would know a lot about it, is that it was a super dark time, a super where I was like, I'm good at nothing, I can't do anything. And then especially with Katie pregnant, you know, we just got married, baby was here. I was like, I can't even buy nappies, I can't do this. I was just, it was a really low point. And then rolling back a bit of time, I'd met this lovely woman. She was coming to the bakery all the time, an older lady, traits my granny, who I was super close to. And she basically said, do you want to meet my son someday? And I met this really great guy who's now my business partner called Steve. We're like brothers. So I now have 4 sisters and 2 brothers.
Oh.
And he pretty much said, it's grand. He was like, fail, fail fast. And it was the one thing that stood to me. I was like, what? I said, what does that mean? He said, you failed and you failed fast. So don't drag it on. Don't drag it out. Acknowledge it, say, how's it going? This happened, but guess what? More to come. And that was a big statement for me that led into 41, which is now 6 years old and has completely developed. I always say we've a bakery. So it's a bakery on Pier Street. We make bread, but it's a lot more than that. It's a social impact bakery, and it's a really good place.
Yeah, I know. I want to get into there. Yeah. Obviously going from a dark place and running out of money like that.
Yeah.
So was Steve like then an investment? Like you obviously had the, okay. No. Sorry, how did you pull yourself back?
It was a lot of beg, borrowing and stealing. And it's really interesting because a lot of people focus on the money. A lot of people, how will I get the money? And there's so many great ideas out there. People have so many ambitious plans, but they write everything down, they do everything, and then they get focused on the money. It's easy to say now for me because it's different. But back then it wasn't. So we managed to scramble. We got back after all the solicitor stuff was done. We managed to get back to 15 grand. I think all in all, I lost about 8 grand. But 8 grand back then was 8 grand. It's a lot of money. And it still is a lot of money today. It was a couple of credit cards, a couple of overdrafts, and a bit of hustling. My mum and dad were probably like later in their life, so the money was sort of out of the pot. It's like, well, we don't really have that money. We're retiring. And mum and dad helped me out. My sister, who Louise, who's like, honestly, is they're all everything to me, but it's everything. She went and gave me a few quid and helped me. And then we set up.
They obviously believed in you.
Yeah, believed in me. We set Bread 41 up on 50K.
Wow.
So 25K each. And then we got, as it was just about to open, we got 60K in and we managed to pay the 60K loan back in like a month.
Wow. Okay. So this is where I'm like really curious. Like, so obviously you were good at making bread and everything else. Like, how did you where do you start with a viable business plan?
A vision. Okay. So that's what I've learned now, that actually Bread 41, when I said to you earlier on, was set up when I was in sixth year. And then fifth year in school. So it was an actually copybook. And I was writing on that copybook that what I was going to do, where I was going to do it, what interested me. And it was actually just doodling or scribbles. And what I've learned now in the last couple of years is that was when I started working on my vision, on where I wanted to go and how I wanted to get there. It didn't say bread anywhere.
Okay.
It said, you know, work for yourself, maybe help, you know, some kids, help people like me who aren't great in school, help people who might have made mistakes. And that was the vision that has come to light in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think a vision of knowing when you're going and why you want to get there. Listen, we all know the start with why you want to do it. And that again relates to your vision. Big fan of Cameron Herald, you know, Viva Vision. It's a great book, you know. It just asks the questions you need to answer.
Yeah.
So I think when you have a vision, it also what I was doing without knowing I was doing, I was telling everyone what I was going to do. And they were laughing. Some people were laughing. Some were like, good on you. Fair play. So I was instilling that responsibility on myself. And that's how a business plan comes to light. I genuinely seen in the restaurant industry, was flooded. There was a lot of people on the market. I looked at the industrial pan and was like, how's this person in this yellow bag with white and red writing? How he's, you know, that's what we're eating, that we're consuming. And there wasn't many bakeries. So I did look for a gap in the market, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And instead of opening a restaurant, I opened a bakery. So I was like, this is a bakery. We're not a cafe, we're a bakery. Yeah. So it's different as it comes true. You're like, people are like, oh, it's under a cafe. It's not a cafe, it's an app. It's a bakery, but we do sell coffee too.
It's funny because that's like what you're describing reminds me of even, you know, Simon Sinek start with why, and he talks about Steve Jobs, and it's not, you know, he wasn't selling computers. It was this idea, or like it was a culture.
Yeah.
And I really think that, I don't know how to describe it, but that's what Bread 41 is. It's not. Actually, I wrote down your, I don't know if you call it a mission statement. I saw it online, but I like it. It says, we want everyone to get back to eating real bread and to appreciate real handcrafted pastries, amazing seasonal food, and drive exceptional hospitality in a sustainable way.
Yeah.
And that, obviously it sums it up because that is the way you operate.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so many things there. There's the quality of the pastries.
Yeah.
Like, are you allowed to share how you make such a good almond croissant?
It's everything as you said it was there. But also what it does is, what has driven everything that's really good is culture. Really, really good culture. A leader culture. There's no hierarchy. I'm not big into hierarchy. Everyone has a voice. Now, this has sort of happened from day one. Like day three, I think, before we opened the bakery, we bring everyone into a room and we got a flip chart. And like, for people might go, oh yeah, flip chart, we know what that is. But in the food industry, this doesn't exist or didn't exist. It was like, we wrote down, I said, we're going to set up the business on a set of values. So we're like, what's important to you? And honestly, in the room, it was tumbleweed. No one wanted to talk to a chef who'd never been asked, how do you feel? Are you okay? Like, and the first one was like, we care about each other. And it was a really, really weird thing to say. Well, I care about everyone in the room. And they were looking, going, oh, what's that mean?
They're like, he's not going to get us with a pan.
It's just that way. And then we actually developed a core set of values, you know, and we care about each other. We care about the customer. And I think that the customer one is has really helped in Bread 41 is because we genuinely care. You know, we've had incidents where people come in there and I always say to our team and the staff and the great team I have around me is that when someone comes in for that cup of coffee, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know, have they been in traffic? You don't know, have they managed to escape out of maybe a really bad relationship for the morning, you know, got out of something like this. And this has all come up over time. We've had feedback off people. We've had letters off people. And you're being able to turn their mood, say, hey, how are you? Listen, I hope you have a great day. And, you know, that's so important with Bread 41. And that's what the almond croissant is.
Yeah.
Because it's a hug in a bag that comes up and warms you and say, it's warm and delicious.
Yeah. It is actually delicious though as well.
Yeah, it is. So
but those
you can work on that.
You can't give.
Yeah, you can. So it works on that bite, that first bite, that first warmness. It is that something that can pick you up and change your complete mood. And that's what we all know, but we don't talk about it. That's what food is. Food isn't just something we eat to fuel ourselves. Food is a conversation. Food is around friends. Everything you would have heard of growing up as a kid, it's like all the good stuff happens around the dinner table, but also sometimes the bad stuff happens. But it's the communication. It's the conversation.
I love it because obviously I spent years dieting, you know, where it was like food was just seen as numbers. And now like I appreciate an almond croissant. Like I never had an almond croissant before, I'd say 2 years ago. I thought I never liked almond flavored things. And then in Bali, someone made me have one, and I saw James Smith always talking about them, and I was like, maybe I'll try one. And then I was like, where have these been all my life?
Yeah.
Same with cinnamon buns. Anyway, but there's so much, you know, meeting someone for an almond croissant and a coffee, like it's not about the calories or even the taste. It's something about, let's go for a break. You know, like there's a cultural and social impact to it too. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Well, I think that was then and this is now. So even what you said there, we met because I actually used to come in from Perpetua, and I was like, oh, there's Siobhan. And I started following you. And I love what you say, because what's happened is, and it's down to people like yourself, is we now talk about food. It's okay to eat this food. It's nothing bad's going to happen. And we understand that for a long period of time, the diet culture was forced on you, and it was a matter of just fueling to get where you need to get. And then we realized, going, it's okay. You look great. You look okay. And this is like the conversation's completely shifted, where people feel they can, you know, sit down, spill food in their top. You know, before it was really, really different, and it was growing up in that thing, it was like, what are you eating? Are you going to the gym 5 days a week? And you're coming home and you're not eating this because it's bad for you. And now you just eat what you want and you enjoy it. And that's
it's
a shift.
It becomes a lot more mindful in eating. Like even if I do have an almond croissant, like it doesn't feel excessive because then I'm full. Like, so then, you know, I might have a little bit less of my next meal. And so it's never, it doesn't feel gluttonous. You know, like it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable,
food.
And I move on and I listen to my hunger levels.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm also very aware of like health as well. So, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'll make sure I'll have more nutrients at lunch if I'm having an almond croissant for breakfast.
And we sort of understand that the food sector, more of the ultra processed food. We now know a lot more about this, and we realize, going, some of the stuff that's dressed up to look really good for you and healthy isn't that great. So we're like, okay, let's meet our wholesome stuff. And I always say to people, it's like the butcher, the baker, and the beer maker. You know, it's to understand where your food's coming from.
Yeah.
That's the way I eat.
Yeah. Look, I never, only when I was looking at your website, I did not realize the bread is made of like three ingredients.
Yeah. So yeah, real bread is predominantly made of three ingredients, flour, salt, and water. And the fourth ingredient that no one talks about is thyme. And again, it's that getting back to eating real bread is, again, having a slice of bread, you eat, you close your eyes, and you develop something that we all have in our mouth. And it's called taste buds. And we should use our taste buds. We should eat. If we don't like something, we should eat it 15 times and really understand what's going on and try redevelop our taste buds. That happened to me in Ballymaloe. So when I was in Cork and super grateful to have been there, we walked around a greenhouse and it was Doreena who said, has anyone liked tomatoes? And I was like, yeah, tomatoes. I've had them before. And it was September. And put my hand up and she goes, grab a tomato, and I ate it. And what happened was, I was like, oh my God, what is that? It was like an organic tomato in season. And I was just, it was a sweet. It was like, this is absolutely delicious. And that to me was, how do I go back to eating and cooking like this all the time where everything's delicious? So that was my first sort of massive food moment. And it's the simplest moments. It's always the simple things. It's like that one thing. Maybe it's the almond croissant when you bit into it and say, God, these almonds are delicious. Or else you just realize you're addicted to real butter.
Oh, is that it? Okay, so this thing. We know you're very, very good at pastries and bread.
Okay.
How do you marry that with sustainability? Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I mean, you can tell, like, when you go back to the roots and go to the proper ingredients, obviously that is quite a sustainable way to make food. Do you know what? You tell me. I'm not going to guess.
So I think it drifts. So there isn't, how do you say about business? That's a business for good, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, in terms of profitability, that's the big question.
Yeah,
like, how do you manage being a profitable business that makes quality food and look after the environment and the people and responsible business.
So like that all comes, and I think any business you ever try to set up, first and foremost, again, it goes back to your vision. Why you're doing, again, why and the what. And I'm a big and Simon Sinek. It's like the who. So people would say to me, how do you do accounts? I was like, there's someone out there that does that for you. So I lean into what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate to grow up as a big house. And I said to you, traveling happened to help me massively. So I met so many people. So I got good at conversations and not afraid to ask a question and not afraid to hear an answer and not afraid to say to that person, I'm at your door. You know, so culturally that helped me massively, meeting people from all different walks of life, from the random person I lived in Sydney who was a garbage guy, or the person I lived with who might have been an exec in New York, you know, and I just seen people. So I was very big on people, and that helped me understand and create a good environment and good culture around me. So anyone coming into Bread 41 now, there's a massive hiring process behind it. The number one thing we look at is culturally, are they where they need to be? Are they nice? Everyone has a voice on the new hire coming in. And that has helped massively grow the business, because if we have everyone gets along, and we're not looking for everyone to be best friends, we're everyone to believe the same, act the same, and accordingly believe in the values we've set. So it's caring for each other. We care about sustainability. Sustainability is, it's a difficult one for me because it's a word that is now just being ripped apart. Sustainable to me is people and planet. And when you start running a business that works within all these confinements of like, is that the right thing to do? Is that the right person to do it? The profit comes. So we never really focus on profit. Profit is very important. And I would say that to people, not enough people talk about it, because I've made a commitment on the back of the 51 staff I have in Bread 41 that I'm going to pay you every Friday. You're okay. Like, we have a pension scheme now and they're paying the pensions. I've told them I've got them, in essence. Mm-hmm. And also they've told me they've got me. So we talk openly about a business that's profitable, because to get where I need to go with the team, we need to make money.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I would think the same in the way I work with coaching and everything. Like, I've always been like, follow morals and ethics and, you know, not doing any crazy transformations. And I always say like, the profit will come, but then I have less outgoings. Like, you know, like if I don't sell, that's not, you know, it's not as impactful to that many people. So like, they're obviously, you need to have the business plan in place to make sure that you're not.
Yeah, well, you're not. Yes. So the business plan will help, because what we'll do is like, we'll still work on we'll look at the weekly, we'll look at the monthly. We pivot very quickly now, which predominantly in business has been like, the average lifespan of a business, I think it was 7 to 9 years, is now nearly 3. So right. COVID has actually done now. We're pivoting. Before was like, stick at what you're doing and don't, you know, stay in this realm. Where we pivoted when COVID hit. And we went from 35 staff to 11 staff who wanted to work. And most of us were actually in the process of getting mortgages. So we knew if we stopped working, we pivoted into different avenues. We kept the revenue stream. But more importantly, we worked as a team. Mm. And that allowed us to grow right through. And then as COVID went on for so long, we didn't think it was so long, we had staff that wanted to come back to work. And it also grew the culture and the family.
I really think like, COVID reminds me of Bread 41. Like, when, obviously that's when we met, that's when coming out of training, that you obviously pivoted to the hatch, you know, like having, but I have great memories of sitting there, having a coffee, having a pastry, meeting people from the gym that I never would have spoken to before, because everyone was just going up there after. And just, I have such great memories of that, but that's nothing to do with what the coffee was or what the pastries was. It was the culture that you'd created.
Yeah,
well, it's a tough time.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a tough time, and it's the art of conversation. I think that happened pre that. We might have got away from, everything was always very rushed. It was like, we have to get it, we have to have it now, and that applies to business, to your loans, to the food we were consuming, to the lifestyle we were. Everyone was living, and they realized that, you know. I think it's horrific and super sad, and a lot of people got sick and ill from it. It's like, but it gave everyone time to slow down and think, are they in the right place? Do they really want to do what they're doing? Which is super important. And I suppose going back to earlier when we said about in school and told you have to do this and you have to get a job, it challenged a lot of that. Which is, you know, a lot of businesses have popped up since COVID.
A lot of people pivoted and the people that did well out of it are people who didn't resist it, you know, they pivoted. And I, you know, even I look at my friend Jack, who was like managing a club and then set up Grilla, you know, set up the food trucks. Fantastic. And now he's flying, you know, and it was that absolute change in direction that everyone did well. And so or COVID obviously changed everything for you, but like, yeah, in terms of then did you find it difficult to build back up a team? And even now, as you're growing and expanding to Greystones, how do you find staff in Ireland? Like, do you find it, are you able to find enough good people here?
Yeah, yeah, we are. Currently we have 300 and I think roughly around 300 CVs on wow. file in the business.
Oh, great.
That again, helping with building the right culture so it all goes back. I've made, like, I'm very vocal on where I'm going and what I'm doing because I believe in telling people where you're going. We will expand, we'll open 3 to 5 bakeries in the next 2 years. It was 3 years, maybe a year ago, 3 to 5. And they'll be all signature bakeries. We will, fingers crossed, we will purchase all the buildings and we'll pay homage to the buildings, as in we will build to last. Outsee me, outsee my kids. So we're putting a lot of work in. We're building using more sustainable materials. It's like, how do you build a building that will outlast everyone and do it like using local where possible? And we just building the building, creating the space, creating the bakery is just working back to what we believe in.
Yeah. And I think even sharing that message is really helpful, because I think then people would obviously want to support local. Like, it probably is, you know, it seems like, it sounds like, you know, just doing it because you're a great person, which you are. But also, you know, like that probably will help the business as well. You know, as in, if I knew somewhere, you know, you're supporting all the local businesses around me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to support that business yeah. as well. So I suppose it is a little bit of
Well, it's important to say what you're doing and important to say what you're not doing. Like, I made a statement about 2 years ago that we're going to be zero waste, because I said I'm going to be zero waste. And then I realized the challenges around that. So we quickly moved to say, actually, we're moving to zero. So currently, in terms of sustainability in Bread 41, we track everything. We track food waste, plate waste, how much water we use, how many times a van, truck pulls up inside of the building, how our staff are working. Are they overworking? Are they underworking? We challenge our staff all the time because we're trying to get the best out of them and be the best for them. We're just, I'd say, about four to six months away from being certified B Corp. That's a framework that allows businesses to work within. And I encourage anyone who's listening to this who is setting up a business or anything is to look at the B Corp framework. So just ask the questions and you give the answers. So it's really easy. Mm. And pretty much it's people and planet. So it's asking, we're creating an environment and businesses around the globe that if you're saying you're doing something for someone, if you're saying you're contributing to a charity, you have to back it up with the evidence.
Yeah.
And you open yourself up for audit. So it's a really, really powerful thing to do. And originally when I looked at it, I was like, I'm going to maybe try a line to this. And then I was like, well, we're doing a lot of this. Like, we're working with the schools. We're helping little, you know, we have a breakfast club for kids in local schools. And we're helping early school leaver programs. We're helping ex-prisoners. And we're doing all this without saying it. And again, it goes back to the original comment about, if you're doing it, tell everyone you're doing it. And it's not to say, I'm doing this, you're not doing it, show somebody. It's to try and encourage other people to follow that path.
Yeah, yeah, be the change you want to see.
Exactly.
As you said that, I just remembered the homeless lads that used to come up to the window and yeah. you were having the chats
still
with them.
Come.
And, yeah, yeah, and you're come. Like giving them the pastries and the fivers. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, but that
well,
was,
I quickly
that.
Learned. It's really weird. I actually quickly learned. So there's one guy, he had me shook down, and every time he came by, he was like, money. And then, and it's an interesting even topic to talk about. I was giving them this, and then I bumped into the local, you know, the local care center, and like, whatever you do, don't give them money because this is where their money's going. And I was like, but his shoes got stolen. I was like, if he needs shoes, he can come to us. And I was like, oh my God, he had me shut down. But actually then me explaining to the particular person I'm talking about that I know what you're up to, he's now changed. So that conversation's changed. So
interesting.
And it's important to, you know, I think society for a long time has maybe said that these people did something wrong or there's something wrong with them instead of addressing the problem and fixing the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I see it all the time.
I see it, especially around here. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's, you don't know, I don't know what the solution is. Like, you know, the people are looking down on people. I'm like, don't like try help them up. In,
yeah. And I think that's the power of conversation.
Yeah.
That's just about people
realizing
stopping and going,
people.
Hey, how are you? Yeah. But then on the flip side of it is, I used to come into town and see that. And then now I see is all the people that are helping those people. There's so many people
yeah.
out there. There's
yeah.
honestly, there's people every day of the week, they get up, they feed them, they check on them. And when you're in that space and looking at spaces, that it's amazing. And there's a lot more people genuinely than Bread 41 helping these people that no one talks about or no one does. And they do it just to be do it for good.
Yeah.
You know, they give
yeah.
their time to do it. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Being the change
awesome.
You want to see.
Yeah. Very, very good.
So yeah, what else have I got to ask? I've like there's and now I'm like motivated to go out and just be a good person rather than just a business. But I mean, it's great to see that you can do it hand in hand.
Well, it's they're so, also really important. And it's like, if you are listening, you have that page in front of you and you're struggling with your business plan. And everyone always asks me about the business plan. It's like, reach out to somebody. Like, social media is an amazing tool to use. It's like, just keep sending people messages till they answer you. Like, I recently, I'm a big fan of Jamie Oliver. And people are like, Jamie Oliver? I'm like, yeah. Why? Because I'm like, it's one of the first books I ever read. I kept it in my backpack. I used to travel with it. And recently enough, I was like, I'm actually going to meet Jamie Oliver. So I'm going to message until someone answers me. And it was like, keep sending messages. Then someone answers. So we went out to London, literally got to meet him for like 20 seconds. We got it done. Met is like a lady who helps the school program that they do out there, because it's traits that I want to implement eventually in Dublin. And I learned so much, and they spent like 3 hours with us explaining what they're doing. And it was like massive for me, because someone took the time out of day, and they didn't want anything in return.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. So no matter who that person is, you'll find that they don't want it in return. If they can help you, they will help you. I know people have busy schedules, but maybe they could point you in the right direction. I think that's the important thing to do when setting up a business. Or even if you're in your room, or you're ever setting in a coffee shop and you're setting up a business, no matter what it is, just tell people. Like, the visualization thing is very important.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm, manifest.
Yeah, manifest is very important. And it's interesting enough, because I haven't seen her in a long, long time. I won't name who she is, but you all know she is. It's a massive tanning brand. And many, many moons ago, grew up this Irish girl. And I remember being in out for a beer, and she happened to be there. And she said to me, I love one day if she is here in the show. It might have been, it was a spray tan brand, let's just say. And it might have been a Carter in the word. And it was, I'm going to set up this brand, honestly, this massive brand. And she said to me, I read this book called The Secret. And it just tells you to like visualize it. And from that point on, I actually read it. Now, to shout to her, I haven't seen her in so many years, but it's like, genuinely, the art of visualization, seeing someone who did it backs me to do it. So visualization is key.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same. Read The Secret. I think that starts off loads of people's journey. And then I got a bit more.
Read.
Yeah. And then you go back and then you kind of reflect on it and you're like, okay, let's be a bit more realistic, you know, but it definitely, yeah, I think believing and even seeing other people do it, like that's obviously seeing. You know, as I said, when I started out, I didn't think of any other way of living besides getting a good job in Dublin and settling down, and, you know, even traveling, even solo travel. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think that was possible, but it's, you know, seeing other people do it. Do you ever struggle with looking at other people running their businesses in a less responsible way? Do you ever think, oh, it'd be easier if I didn't care so much? Or
no. No, the long and short of it, no, I don't. And that's actually comes from the people I've surrounded myself with. It's probably bigger than visualization, I think, as you become the average of the four people you spend your time most time with. I grew up with some amazing friends, like honestly, massive amount of friends. I'll never forget the conversation that someone said to me. It was one of my good friends' dads. He said to me, and I was maybe 12, 13. He said to me, see all these people around you. And I was like, all your mates. And he goes, there's a one day that they'll become acquaintances. Mm. And he said, and that's okay. He said, but you might meet later in life, you're actually now best friend. So that was a weird one for me, because I was looking at him going, your dad's mad. He's after saying this to me, you know? And I see that now, that like as a group of friends we had grown up with, we've all, like, I just don't really have anything in common anymore. I'm still there for them. I'm still doing with them. And the circle that I might be in now is quite different. You know, it's always really positive. It's, I hear what I want to hear. Like sometimes I might go, I don't watch the news for one. I don't really watch anything negative. I try not to hear anything negative, and I'm very focused on where we're going and day-to-day life, and implementing that at home. It's very difficult as well. It's like, for a long time, I was like, I'm doing all this breeding and I'm on this course and this Scale X course that I'm doing. And I remember, and I was fortunate enough to do a course 2 years ago called Simply Scaling, and it's helped me massively with the business. And I remember Brendan, who ran it, he's like, at one stage he said, it's very important you tell your partner about what's going on and we're have a vision with your partner. And I was like, God, I don't have any of that done. And then I was noticing at home the frustrations Katie was having, because she's like, oh, there you are, off for a morning swim, breathing, and I'm just running the whole house as well as having a full-time job. And I was like, oh my God, how wrong I've got it. So at home, explaining all the time, I'm very more focal of what's going on with the business. And we don't talk about the business too much. I just explain, like I explained, I was coming here today, you know, and I say, this is my week ahead, what I'm doing, because before that was guessing. So on the negativity side and look what other people are doing, I just don't really watch what other people are doing.
Yeah.
I'm very focused on what I'm doing. That's not to say little bits you'll see, or, you know, where we banned the takeout cup and it was a big statement for us.
Actually, yeah, actually, I want to ask about that. That must have been difficult, or?
It was to try to do something that was pretty bold. That's how it came. It was like, if you come into Bread 41, you cannot get a takeout cup, and people got it. But it was a statement saying, actually, I'm here, you're that person or them people were here to give me their money, but I was saying no thanks unless you bring a cup or I can rent you a cup.
Did you get much Like, did it, was there PR around that? Like, I'd say people were interested. I mean, that, yeah. I mean, I remember hearing it because
it's a good bit. It's interesting. The PR thing and the marketing thing is really good. It's really weird for me because it goes back to, and it's very easy to say, do good and good will happen. And because it happened for me, and I know a lot of people happen for, but we never paid for one bit of marketing ever. Only recently, 6 months ago, maybe we hired someone in the marketing role 20 hours a week. Because we were doing good that people had no option to talk about it. And I find the press sometimes and all these things, they always want to, as they want to, what people want to read sometimes is the negative. They want to hear the bad things. And I always say, if you look for the bad things, you'll never stop finding them. But when do we get to the point where we look for the good things and the good things in people? And that's the way I go. So getting rid of the cup was to say, hey, you can't have a cup. And as a statement to make that, I was no longer accepting, I was going to take a hit in my pocket and the business pocket if you didn't bring a cup. But it was also to say...
And you're renting cups as well.
Yeah, we rent cups. Just to say that, you know, as a business, we're taking responsibility of the waste we're contributing.
Yeah. And it forces people to take their own responsibility because, you know, sometimes, you get a cup out of convenience. Whereas if I actually just had to think about it, like, oh, I could bring a cup, no problem.
Or you can rent a cup. And I think also what it does is what people don't see is they just think it's a no, you can't have this. I'm saying no. What it does is it asks you a question that you may have to give an answer to.
Yeah.
Makes you think, but also does it makes you slow down. So we have a lot more people that stand in the cafe and have a coffee.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever, like I've always, if I get a coffee there, it's always because I'm sitting there. I think I normally sit down anyway.
Yeah. What I say, that's what we do. And that goes back to everything we talked about with food. It's like, slow down. Enjoy the moment. You're not here forever. You know, drink a cup of coffee or eat an almond croissant or eat a piece of meat. Chew your food. That's something I'm big on as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't just swallow. Chew your food. Get the taste buds working. But it's all around that is a moment, and a moment spent with friends or family.
It's interesting because there's so, like, there's, it's always so busy, but it's not chaotic. You know, like, there's still, no matter, like, that queue, like,
we call that Siobhan outside eyes looking in. Yeah. It's chaos.
It doesn't look like chaos. I mean, it could be chaos, but I mean, even there's, if anyone doesn't know Bread 41, like, you will drive by and you will see queues out there. It looks like all the time, like, from my point of view, anyway, every time I'm passing. But yet, when you go in, there's so many staff, like, it's just demand. Like, you can't, it's not that you're understaffed or anything. It's just the word of mouth and demand is so high. And yet the staff are always so friendly, no matter, like, they've obviously served hundreds of people that day and they're still like, how are you? What do you want? You know, and
I think that's the sort of next stage of the business we're at, where we're looking to systemize and look at every minute spent in the queue. So we're now at the stage of following people on their journey and understanding that. That automation, in terms of, we're coming up a new concept in Greystones and in town that will have bread to go. So you can walk in, grab a loaf and tap your card.
Oh.
To try speed up, because there's a lot of people who don't want to queue. And one of my big statements is to get everyone eating real bread on the island of Ireland. So if I'm not delivering that, I think some people go there and it's become a bit window shopping. So they like looking at all the different items and asking the questions, and I'm forever grateful.
Taking pictures. It's very Instagrammable.
Yeah. Well, I think also as well for me to honestly thank everyone that's in the queue as well, because without those people in the queue, the business doesn't exist. But the next stage of the business, we'll be looking at how we're doing and what we're doing. We might look at streamlining a bit of product, as in we maybe not offer all the selection every single day of the week, because it's not that we don't want it, but now I'm looking more, and I always have, at the staff, the team in the background that are producing all these amazing pastries. As I said, there's 51 staff in the business, and they're in there every day. So I'm now asking much more. They're going, oh, it's fine. I'm like, but is it fine? Like, what are we doing and why we're doing? Can we not do something differently? And now that's where my challenges come from. Well, they're going, but we have to. I'm like, no, let me look at your pinch points, not in the business, but in your personal life. Are you working too many hours? Like, I'm big on the 38-hour work week.
Which is difficult because people are working overnight there.
Yeah, so different shifts. So we go through a mad stage where it's four on, four off. We used to do 5-6-hour shifts, and we've tried everything. And that's the team. We're constantly trying to redevelop and take out the pinch points of how we can get better at what we're doing. And, like, honestly, some people like working nights. Nights are difficult for me. Yeah, nights are hard. Like, honestly.
So it depends on what stage you are in life as well. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember doing nights, and I always say this to the night bakers who come in. I'm like, I remember doing nights and walking around and living on really, really little sleep. And I used to cross the street if I see anyone who knew, because I didn't want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I came quiet and closed to myself. So we look at all that side of it as well. We constantly watching the team and how they are.
Yeah. So you're looking at all the quantitative stuff, like, in terms of, like, profits and everything. And then you have to look at the qualitative, like, staff and how they're feeling, everything.
And that's,
and that obviously pays off. I mean, that's
Well, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
goes back to like, it's the simplest statement ever, do good and good will come. And it's like something that I suppose was worded differently growing up, and you would have grown up in a typically Irish household. It's like, just try your best. And that's what was said to me. But then it was always like, that's not good enough in a way. But now you're changing the words a bit. Like, I'll always say to Oliver, you know, instead of, I'm proud of you, and like, you should be proud of yourself. You know, and just trying to yeah. train myself to tell, you're doing great and you're doing that, and reinstill that. And it's like, it was like, yeah, it was, it's doing good is good. And I think more of that will come in.
I love that. Sorry, I didn't think we'd keep talking for so
no,
long.
You're
but
okay.
We will wind it up there. Thank you so much. I hope that's encouraged some people to be working ethically, you know, looking after the environment themselves, the people around them.
Yeah, I think if honestly, any sort of like, I always like the three timeless takeaways. That's my thing, is like that one would always be, if it's good in the gut, it's good. And be bold, be brave. I think definitely never, ever take no for an answer in business, you know, like, and that silly saying that goes back way, when one door closes, another one opens, is so true. And be cautious. Yeah. Look at the four you spend your time with.
Yeah.
And that's not four. That's not just, okay, Owen says I can only have four friends. That's just, it's applied to a wider audience. And breathe more.
Yes. I need to get into more of the breathing. Anyway, that's another podcast. And my advice would be, go try the almond croissant from Bread 41.
Uh-huh, thanks so much. Yeah.
But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I found it, I suppose, interesting, different, and these are the conversations I really want to have on this podcast, as opposed to just, you know, getting on really popular people. I wanted to learn things, and I hope you learned a few bits in this episode too. So thanks again. As I said, last episode of this season, hopefully it won't be too long until I'm back. Who knows what way my life is going to get thrown upside down, but the furnace will still be going. If you do want to join the furnace, we have a great team where it's going to be still working away, hopefully very well. And the other thing I want to mention is Flow State, which have offered 30% off to all my clients, or all my listeners and clients, with the code LIFELESSONS30. So that's flowstate.ie, and that's the lovely yoga stuff that I use, the sustainable mats that are pieces of art, and the yoga blocks and other things. Have a look at their website, and the discount is LIFELESSONS30. And thanks again for listening to any episodes this season, and I will speak to you soon.